Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 7:34, and this is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. America needs to get back to its roots. When was the last time you had somebody suggest that to you? Has it been a while? Fact of the matter is, it seems as over the last several years, one opinion poll after another suggests that a majority of Americans believe we're on the wrong course. Of course, righting the ship, what exactly is the right course for America? That remains to be seen, and there's a lot of division about that. My next guest has written a book on this subject. He's a native New Yorker. His name is George Barna. He's filled executive roles in private enterprise, in government, and in ministry. In 1984, he founded the Barna Research Group. It's now known as the Barna Group. It's become a leading market research firm focused on the intersection of faith and culture. You probably know his work very well. His latest book, entitled U-Turn, Restoring America to Its Strength of Its Roots. George Barna, welcome to Faith Radio. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Give us your latest assessment in terms of how Americans feel about the current direction of the country. A lot of polling organizations pose a question or similar questions to that effect. Your group has done that as well. How do Americans feel about our current trajectory?
By and large, very few people are really comfortable with where we're at. I mean, there are a lot of different questions we ask related to that. But we know that right now about 75% are trying to find a more meaningful way of life because they're struggling with everything that's happening around them. About two-thirds of Americans believe that the country currently is in a state of decline. Similarly, 63% argue that things in the nation are generally headed in the wrong direction. When they think about the future, they're worried. 77%, more than three out of four, say they're concerned about the future. Most of them do not believe that America's children will be able to lead as comfortable or as successful or as fulfilling a life as they have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the numbers go on and on and on. Two-thirds of the nation don't believe that the government is the solution. They think that the government will never change for the better. So people are really looking for different kinds of solutions today.
If indeed children of today, however you define that demographically, if children today grow up to have a less prosperous lifestyle than their parents and grandparents, will that be an American first for our country, that a successive generation doesn't grow in prosperity?
It will. You know, there have always been periods of history where there have been bumps in the road because of wars that we were engaged in or the up and down cyclical nature of the economy. But when you look at the span of a person's life and gauge how did they start and how did they end, what you find is that throughout the 200-plus year history of the United States, people's lives continually seem to get better. The nation grows in many different ways. But, you know, when you look at it, whether it's economically or in other ways, yes, things have gotten better. So this appears to be the first period where things are not necessarily going to be on the upswing. Mm-hmm. For, you know, multiple decades consecutively.
George Barna, his new book is called U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots. We'll talk about the roots in just a few moments. George, you're no stranger to history. You're a student of it. Is the decline of the United States of America, as you and I have always known it over the course of our lifetimes, is that inevitable at some point? Maybe not necessarily now, but is a decline necessarily going to happen at some point in your view?
Well, I think there are a couple ways of looking at that, but certainly one way is to recognize that America is a unique nation, historically speaking. There has never really been a nation that's had such a prolonged period of prosperity. And so from that vantage point, you would say, well, yeah, it's pretty inevitable. We've had the best run of any nation ever, and it's due to end. On the other hand, there seems to be some discernible reasons as to why we've had that prolonged run of success. And, you know, in the book, David Barton and I argue that it's because there's been this tremendous partnership between family, government, and church. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the founding of the country and what enabled the country to to maintain that success over the long haul, we would say it was because we were willing to work at that relationship. Any relationship you want to work, you've got to invest in it. And when you look at what's happening right now, Americans, for whatever reasons, and I think there are a lot of them, have stopped investing in that relationship. And that's, I believe, why we're seeing the deterioration of our nation.
That's very interesting. I want to pick up on something you said a moment ago, George Barna, that I forget exactly the figure that you offered us, but some large percentage of Americans do not believe that our government or governments across the country can solve all our problems. And yet at the same time, this last, we'll see what the new Congress does, but this last election in November notwithstanding, it would seem to me that even over the course of my lifetime, we've been on a pretty steady march towards more and more and more government control over private enterprise, over our private lives. Conservatives, people on the political right, people on the political left, they look to government to solve a whole host of problems. Is there a disconnect between what people say they want from government and what they actually empower?
I think there is, and frankly, I think a large part of the issue is that we've become kind of lazy. I mean, if you look at the numbers that we're producing, you know, 74% say they're dissatisfied with how the nation's being governed. Two-thirds say the government won't change for the better. Almost two-thirds of Americans say they usually wind up being disappointed by the people they vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you've got that kind of a mindset, what that suggests to you is, okay, well, you can't just keep doing what you've been doing and expecting different results. That's insane. So you've got to shift your activity. You've got to change some of your thinking. You've got to take different kinds of action to get different kinds of results. And so if you look at the government and you say, gosh, it's not working in any way, shape, or form, and I've got, you know, pages of numbers that show that in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what you've got to do is rethink, all right, how do we go about making this work again? Is it different kinds of people? Is it that I get more actively involved? Is it that I get involved in different ways? Is it that I bring other people on the journey with me in ways that I've never done before? There are a lot of different options, but, you know, so much of it has to do with understanding, first and foremost, so what made the nation great and how do we restore some of those roots and then continue to build in a positive way upon them?
Very interesting. George Barna is on our guest line. His new book, U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots. He's with us here on Faith Radio. You note that one of the key areas that must be addressed in restoration of our nation is the restoration of the family. Where are you going with that? What do you have in mind?
Well, again, when you look historically at why did the family matter and what enabled it to make a positive difference, there are basic building blocks that are in place. And what we've got today is a society that seems intent upon removing those building blocks, redefining what family is, taking away the foundations that we built on in the past. Well, you have to understand that every change you make triggers another series of changes. And if you're going to be intelligent and strategic about those changes, you've got to study the data, you've got to project ahead and say, okay, where is this going to leave us? Are we going to be better off under those circumstances than we were previously? All the evidence that we have indicates that by redefining the family, by taking away rights from the family,
mm-hmm.
by changing the way that parents are allowed to raise their children, by changing the way that we educate children about who they are, about our society, by taking away religious freedoms as part of that mix, all of these things, when you change all of that, you, by definition, change the possible outcomes that you could have. And so what we're suggesting is, all right, well, let's be smart about this and say, you know what, we tried some things, they're not working. There's no dishonor in going back and saying, you know, we tried this other approach before, let's return to that. Yes, maybe we want to change it, update it a little bit, But wholesale redefinitions are not working for us. Let's rethink the strategy.
Do you believe there's consensus in the country, maybe not uniformly, but some critical mass of Americans who agree that, shall we say, affirming one-parent families, penalizing two-parent families, these kinds of things, obliterating distinctions between the genders for that matter, is there consensus that those things aren't working and we need to reverse course?
You know, one of the interesting things to me as a researcher is that on the one hand, you've got people's instincts where they look about them, they judge some things based on their personal experiences. and their experiences are saying, yeah, you know what, this isn't working. But then, how is it that we actually define the totality of reality? Well, by and large, we become a society that relies upon the media to define that reality for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that disconnect, that conflict between what we're personally experiencing and what we believe based on that, what the media is displaying to us and how they're spinning the nature of that reality. Americans right now are in an uncomfortable position where they're trying to reconcile these two competing perspectives about what reality looks like, what reality feels like, where we are and where we're going. And so it'll be interesting over the next few years. I think that right now is a very, very pivotal time
mm-hmm.
for Americans, as Americans try to figure out, yeah, what is real, what is right? Am I being sold a bill of goods by the media that's not really the way things are? Do I need to rely more upon my personal insights and experiences, or should I take the perspective, the macro perspective that's being fed to me by the media?
George Barna, he's our guest. His new book, U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots. Fascinating things to think about. We'll continue with George Barna in just moments. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Stay with us. Good morning. It's now 7:47. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Can America make a U-turn? My guest, George Barna of the Barna Group. His new book is called Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots. He indeed suggests we can make a U-turn. George, one of the issues you and your co-author, David Barton, another very thoughtful, scholarly gentleman, one of the issues you raise in the book is the restoration of, and according to the press materials and the way it appears in your book, the restoration of the Christian Church, capital C. And I don't think that's a mistake. You're calling on evangelical Christians, I presume, specifically, to be restored, as it were. Where are you going with the restoration of the Christian Church, specifically?
You know, it's that's a really long conversation, Austin, but I mean, in short, what we've got to recognize is, number one, most of our local churches are led by good people, but they're not leaders by gifting and calling, and so their primary hope and dream is simply to have a platform to teach. And, you know, one of the ways that drove this home to me in the recent midterm election was I've been working with a group called United in Purpose doing research among theologically conservative pastors mm-hmm. across the country. And one of the things that we discovered in that research is when we ask those pastors who love to teach, who believe the Bible conveys truth, who want people to know what's in the Bible, one of the things we found, the vast, vast majority of those pastors believe, more than 90% of them, is every issue you ask them about, whether it's immigration, whether it's tax reform, you know, whether it's abortion, whether it's gay marriage, whatever you want to bring up, most of them believe and will say, yes, the Bible speaks to that issue. But then when we ask them in the surveys, well, have you taught your people in your church what the Bible says about those issues?
Mm-hmm.
What we found is, with the exception of abortion and same-sex marriage, with the exception of those two issues, less than 10% of theologically conservative pastors had preached or taught any lessons in the past 12 months on any of those issues. And then what we do is we expect people to leave the church armed and informed to make a change in the culture, taking the Bible with them, God's ways and principles, and yet the people who are primarily responsible for teaching those things refuse to do so because they think, well, some people don't want to hear that, they're uncomfortable with it, it's going to be controversial, the church is going to lose people. But really, so that's the criteria for what the church is now? Do people like it? Does it make us popular? Do we feel good about it? You know, I mean, if we're really going to be about truth,
mm-hmm.
we've got to have truth tellers, people who are willing to teach truth based on God's word and principles on every issue that we confront every moment of our lives.
And that's so very interesting.
I see where you're going with that. I back in the 90s, I was a graduate student at a theological seminary located in a university where you once taught as an adjunct professor, I believe, in Southern California. And I was in a philosophy graduate program, but students in MDiv programs, Masters of Divinity, people on a pastoral track, I know in a variety of different ways, they were pretty much taught you should not speak out on these issues of culture, certainly don't have a voice on public policy issues, preach the gospel in as much as it pertains to people's salvation, and don't have a voice on cultural issues. Is that part, that was my experience, is that part of the dilemma here that we've got maybe a generation or more of pastors who have been very intentionally told, don't speak out on things pertaining to the world, the culture?
Absolutely. I mean, the research shows that. And, you know, the way that it tends to get conveyed is, you know what, you are training to be, or you're in place to be a pastor. You're doing a holy work. Don't dirty yourself with that awful political stuff.
Sure.
You know, it's all about compromise. It's, you know, it's just an area where we don't want to go. We rise above that. We're doing something much more significant. You know, and my contention would be, well, you can't do anything significant unless you're going to be down in the trenches where people live, where they have to make decisions on critical issues. And so then when we look at all the data that we get about how people vote and why they vote, if they vote, you know, we find that, well, they say issues are important, but they don't know where the candidates stand on the issues. And that's because they don't really care that much about the issues, because they've never been taught what to think about the issues. And so they send people off to state legislatures and city councils and Congress and the White House, and they say, you make those decisions for me. And then the best that they can do is sit back and be a Monday morning quarterback and say, I don't know if I like that choice that you made on my behalf. But they don't even know. And so we really do have to change that model of the church being the church in all dimensions of life, Christians recognizing that you have a vital responsibility. It's a biblically taught responsibility to understand the issues, to be involved in the issues, to vote on the basis of the issues, to be someone who defends a perspective that you believe comes from Scripture.
Hmm. Is that to say that Christians perhaps have more work to do in terms of discipling people in the faith, but maybe Christians have more work to do themselves in understanding basic civics and maybe even some lessons of world history?
Absolutely. You put it all together, you know, and there's a lot that we have to do. Like I said earlier, I think we've gotten very, very lazy and lethargic. We delegate people to do things for us, and then we turn our back on it because, frankly, when we look at the lifestyle choices of Americans, they're much more interested in their leisure time than they are in any kind of responsibilities that they have to provide and protect that kind of leisure time. And so, yes, we need to understand, well, how did we get this freedom? We need to understand, what does it take to retain this freedom, to protect this freedom? We have to understand, what's it going to take to hand off that freedom to our children? And therefore, what do we need to be teaching them about the very concept of citizenship, so that as we pass the baton to them, they can continue to protect it and defend it and prolong it. But we're not doing that right now. We're sitting back. We've got an entitlement mentality saying, you know what? We hired the government to give us money, to give us programs, to give us freedoms, and we expect them. Where are they? Without realizing there is no such thing as government if you're not involved in it.
Sure.
And so we've got to change our mindset.
George Barna, his new book entitled U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots. Let me personally thank you for the time, George, and thank you for saying some difficult things that need to be said and others don't say them so well. I hope you'll come back and join us.
I'd love to do it, Austin. Thanks so much.
It's now 7:55. Very insightful comments from George Barna. Would you like to enter a drawing to win a copy of his book, U-Turn? Call us right now. It's 877-933-2484. We'll put your name in a drawing. We'll draw the winner after the top of the hour. Three copies we have to give away. Call and put your name in the drawing right now. 1-877-933-2484. It's now 7:55. This is Faith Radio.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.